Welcome to the Karen Conti Show on 720 WGN.
Welcome, everybody, and I'm talking law for the next couple hours. We've got a great show tonight. Let's get right into it, shall we? This week, Illinois made national news when it passed an historic criminal justice reform package. It still needs to go to Governor Pritzker for his signature. This package makes some major reforms in the area of police training, transparency, and bail. The bill's sponsor, Senator L.G. Sims Jr., is here to discuss the bill and what it means for the people of the state of Illinois. Senator, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
Senator, I just want to introduce you a little more fully. You're serving your first full term as state senator for the 17th Senate District, which includes portions of south side of Chicago, the suburbs, Will County, and Kankakee counties. You had four terms as a state representative. You have a master's in public administration and a law degree, or of counsel to a law firm, and father of two children. You live in Chicago. You've got a lot of things going on.
I do have a lot of things going on, but it keeps me busy and it keeps me invested in working for my community.
There you go. And that's good. Thank you for that. Let's talk, before we go into some of the details, and there's a lot of provisions in this, but I want to direct people to the summary of the law. Where can people go if they want a little bit of the bullet points of what is in this particular package?
Well, there are a number of areas they could go to. The full bill can be found on the ILGA website, ilga.gov. It's House Bill 3653. If someone wanted to read the bill, there are a number of summaries I've seen from. There's a very good one on NBC5's website. I've got some stuff on my social media page. So there are a number of very good summaries out there if someone's looking for it.
And I'm a big fan of letting people read themselves what these things say and making up their own mind as to whether or not they're fair or the like, because we can all talk as talking heads here about what is fair and what is not, but I think it's good to start with the text of what we're actually talking about. Senator, how much of this package was as a result of all of the horrible police stories that we have seen, the George Floyd, the Jacob Blake, Breonna Taylor, and so many other cases that we've seen over the last few years? How much was this motivating in the passage of this package?
Well, a number of these provisions have been out there for years, so it wasn't a direct reaction to the incidents that we've seen, but it certainly, from community members that I have talked to and continue to talk to, it was a demarcation point where they just said, you know, when are we going to see some action? And when things started happening over summer, the civil unrest, et cetera, as a caucus, the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus came together and we started talking about what our response might be, because it can't be, it would be short-sighted to do a bill that tried to do one area or two areas. So we really talked about holistically what are the challenges that our communities face. And the criminal justice system sits at the end of all the other failures. So the failures in the educational system, the failures in to create economic opportunities, the failures in our healthcare system. So when we fail in all those other places, criminal justice system has to step in. And so as a caucus, we decided to have this broad, holistic approach. And we broke our plan down into four different pillars: criminal justice, violence reduction, and police accountability, education and workforce development, economic opportunities, and healthcare. And that's really how we approached this package of legislation that we passed this last week.
Senator, we're not going to I get a chance to talk about all of this, okay? And I'm probably going to pick some of the issues and the items that have been talked about in the press to try to get you to explain, and we're going to go to a break in just a minute. But let's start with police accountability. The bill expands police training. Can you briefly just tell us, like, what kind of training and where is this going to be implemented, and how is this hopefully going to impact policing in the state of Illinois?
Well, the training that we've done, we wanted to build on the training that we're already doing, but also allow for the shortcomings that both officers and communities acknowledge exists. For example, in the case of mental health, dealing with individuals' mental health or substance abuse challenges, we built in additional training and expansion of training in that area. We also allow for additional training for to establish standards for mental health screenings for law enforcement officers, because as the old adage goes, hurt people hurt people. Then it also requires that the Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board, which is our training board for all officers, create statewide standards for crisis intervention teams. So they, as they are creating the training requirements, they were taking a holistic approach to, which included, mental health professionals and co-responders and other first responders in the planning of their training regimen. So we wanted to take, again, give this holistic approach to how we are training our officers, because we want them to have the tools to be successful. If our officers have the tools, including the tools to make themselves whole, because we recognize that officers see some very difficult things.
It's a very tough job, and not any easier in recent times. We're talking to State Senator L.G. Sims Jr., and we're talking about the historic criminal justice reform package. If you could hang with me, we'll continue when I return. This is Karen Conti's show on WGN. Welcome back. We're here with State Senator L.G. Sims Jr. He was a sponsor of the new bill regarding justice reform, and it still needs to be signed by Governor Pritzker. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for being with us. Let's talk about some bullet points, if you will, Senator. I want to talk about chokeholds. What does this bill say about chokeholds for the police?
Well, it bans chokeholds for law enforcement officers. We want to recognize that there are instances where it's not appropriate to institute chokeholds to detain or subdue a suspect. So as if you're going to, there's no reason to have them as a strategy. So we've seen as in what we saw, unfortunately, with George Floyd, Eric Garner. And over and over again, this has been used as a tactic when it's not necessary. So we wanted to make sure that our use of force here in Illinois recognizes that there are other options available. And coincidentally, we're building towards establishing a uniform use of force policy across the state of Illinois for all departments.
And that would seem to make a lot of sense because there should be standards in the policing industry, like there are standards as lawyers, as you know, Senator. We have a code of conduct, and it's throughout the state. It doesn't change if you go into Cook County versus Kankakee County, and it makes sense that everybody's kind of on the same page when it comes to these, I would hope, generally accepted principles of policing.
Absolutely. As I've talked to folks about this, the pushback that we're getting from law enforcement is a little concerning, and it's confusing rather, because there are a lot of the issues that they say they support are in the bill. So they specifically said they were looking for funding or training, additional training requirements, a focus on statewide standards, focus on reporting, getting rid of bad cops, reporting misconduct. All of those things are in the bill.
Well, let's talk about body cams, because that got a little bit of press. And from my understanding, just a very cursory read, is that body cams are going to be considered standard and mandatory for all police. There's some time that everyone gets to get up to speed on that, and there will be no funding for departments who don't provide them as of a certain date. Is this what could possibly be bad about body cams? Because my understanding, Senator, is that body cams protect not only the public, but also the police officers themselves.
Karen, you and I are on the same page, and that's, again, that goes back to I have heard from officers that they like the body cameras, and from municipalities that they like the body cameras, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to give this extended rollout. So body cameras are not they don't have to be in place July 1 of this year. They've got until 2025 before they have to be in place. And that gives the smaller departments the ability to ramp up to having to have the body cameras in place. And there, then there's also for individuals who put them in place. There's a grant program here in the state of Illinois, which we created when we created the body camera. We passed the body camera law in 2015. Though individual departments who have the body cameras, they get priority funding from the grant program. So if they put in for the cameras, they get priority funding from the grant program. So it's again confusing why there's the pushback, because officers I hear, they say they want body cameras. So we are trying to make those body cameras and that tool available to them.
And it just seems to me that, again, I don't know anything about this. You're the one who studied this, and I'm sure there are people who really studied this. It seems like it will save money in the long run, because litigation, as you know, against police officers, these kinds of lawsuits can be horribly expensive, especially when there's payouts. So the body cams, to me, explain the story, and we've seen some of the police situations where there have been body cams, and it explains what happened better than anyone could possibly testify about. So I'm hoping that that portion of the law at least would tone down some of that litigation in the long run.
You, Karen, you and me both. That's, you know, billions. We've spent billions of dollars here in the state of Illinois for instances, for payouts, for lawsuits. The body camera technology would hopefully stem that tide and stem that. Yet those are resources that we could be investing into education, into mental health services, into economic development opportunities. All types of they're better uses of those resources for taxpayers. And hopefully the body cameras will help us to then be able to not have to spend those resources defending lawsuits or paying out lawsuits, but they could be put into investments in the other areas.
Absolutely. And then one last quick thing. I just don't want to spend a lot of time, but there is a provision that I understand will require police to intervene when another officer uses excessive force. And of course, we're thinking of the George Floyd case, where we had one officer with the knee hold and the other officers standing by. You know, the facts will come out at trial. But we saw that and we wondered, what was the obligation of an officer who we see doing something that we think might be wrong? And what is the obligation? And now, what will the law say about that, Senator?
Well, again, there is this duty to intervene, but then there's also taking that a step farther. There is a protection for a whistleblower, because what you often see is that officers don't step in, or they don't want to step in because they fear retribution, and we wanted to make sure that. Those officers who did take that courageous step, they should not be punished from their peers. They should not face retribution because they stepped up and did the right thing. You know, you can't legislate morality. And the situation with George Floyd, clearly the officer stepped outside of he did not recognize Mr. Floyd's humanity. But neither did the other officers. But there's got to be a point at which we step up and all of us recognize that we are dealing with people, and we have an obligation to ensure that everyone is treated fairly and everyone's treated equitably. And that's really where these provisions come from.
I mean, to me, in some ways, I could see a police officer not liking this rule, because you're going to have to stand up against your boss in a sort of a military type of organization to begin with. But on the other hand, it frees an officer to say, I had to do it, because if I don't, I'm going to lose my job. And hopefully this will be a good dynamic rather than something that hinders the exercise of police authority, in my view. Let's go to court reforms, because the big issue that's getting most press is cash bails are gone. And I hear people on the street saying, oh my gosh, we're going to be releasing murderers and rapists with no bail. What does the law actually say about no cash bonds?
You know, what the confusion happens with cash bond versus no cash bond is the system we have currently, it will allow for a wealthy person who is guilty to go free, but a poor person who is innocent to stay incarcerated. And that's not how our system of justice should work. under the bill that we've passed, the Pretrial Fairness Act portion of the bill, it does not say an individual will go free just because we have eliminated cash bail. That's not the bill allows for. Under Supreme Court guidelines, the court the judge can then can say, here are the conditions that you have to meet. If you are a threat to public safety, or you are if there is a threat that you will not appear in court, the judge can make the determination to keep you in custody. But then what the court will also look at is, are there conditions using a verified risk assessment that this person is a threat to the community, is a threat to someone, is a threat to themselves or others, and they need to be held in custody. So the elimination of cash bail in and of itself does not mean a person will be held in the custody. It just means that you either have the money to get out or you don't have the money to get out. And if by having the ability for the judge to look at a person's entire record and then be able to make a determination about whether or not they should be held in the pretrial detention or not, then that's where the system will be more effective. And similarly, comparing what we have done to what some other states have done, what our process is closer to New Jersey's, which most folks say is working very well, than it is to California's or New York's. That's another one of the reasons why in consultation we gave a 2-year ramp up period for the implementation of these pretrial fairness updates, was to make sure that the court had the ability to establish rules, do the training for judges, make sure they understood the risk assessment tool, and they could establish the guidelines so that all judges would know the rules. That's why we've got this 2-year runway, so that the courts can
Senator, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we're going to have to run here. I want to thank you so much, Senator L.G. Sims. Come back next year and let's assess how this bill is doing. Thank you so much for your time. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN.